Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Tonight I'm picking up on this whole idea of just desiring God, and last week John talked about hunger. Tonight we're talking about thirst, but these are just two sides of the same coin. This is just stirring up in us a deep desire, a deep longing, a deep passion for the Lord. You know, we don't need much convincing of what thirst looks like, right? We don't need much of an illustration. I mean, up until this weekend, it's just been dry. It's been really dry. A dry land that is longing for water is something we're familiar with. And how good is God to start pouring out rain on a dry land? Yeah, come on, right? And we should ask for more. Because while we've received it here, it still hasn't broken into all the places that need it. And as God longs to do it in the spiritual, he's doing it in the natural too, right? Yeah. You know, it says in Zechariah 10, verse 1, we should pray for rain in the day of rain. So when it's raining, pray. When we start to see the answer to the prayer, keep praying. Pray for the thing that we know should be happening, right? So now the rain that we saw today, that's fuel for your prayers for the drought to break, right? In the natural and in the spiritual as well. It's all interlocked. It's all related. It's all connected. It's all God trying to get our attention and go, will you pay attention to me? It wasn't supposed to rain. I was talking to someone this afternoon and they said, they listened to the radio this week and they heard the Bureau of Meteorology say, we don't know where it came from. It just came out of the blue. Like, literally. That wasn't meant to be a joke, but it is funny. But this is what's going on. Things that shouldn't be happening are shifting and stirring, and we're starting to see a response. Don't mistake the signs of the times. I'm not getting all end times on you. I'm getting excited for what God is stirring up in our nation. Things are shifting. Things are changing. We've got a new prime minister. Yeah. A week ago, who would have thought? Well, maybe just a week ago. 2 weeks ago, who would have thought? Things are shifting. Pay attention to what's going on because the Lord is stirring up something. There's something moving. There's something shifting. And so as we talk about longing for the Lord, start to let that build a hunger in you. Start to develop a thirst deep in your body. Start to develop an awareness of our desperate need for God and his desperate longing to pour his presence out on us. Actually, you know, we should just stop and pray right now for more rain in our nation, right? Would you bow your heads? Lord Jesus, you are the name that is above all names. Lord, you are the one who we turn to. Lord, there's no one else to go to for the words of life. Lord, we thank you for the rain that you've poured out, the water that has fallen on our city and on our region this weekend. Lord, you said pray for rain while it's raining. So Jesus, would you continue to pour out rain on our state and on our nation? Lord, there are lives that are being broken, communities being torn apart right now by this drought. So Lord, would you send water in the natural, Lord? Lord, we thank you for the promises of your word where you say you long to pour out water on a dry and thirsty land. Would you pour it out? And Lord, in the same way, Lord, would you start to pour your spirit out afresh on this nation, Lord? Lord, as people see that they're lack in the natural, Lord, would you start to just stir up their awareness of their lack in the spiritual, Lord? As they cry out for rain on their crops and on their properties, Lord, would they cry out for you? Lord, would you turn our nation back to you? Lord, we want Japan, but we want Australia too, Lord. We want our nation to know you, to bow its knee to you, to choose you. Lord, would you send the rain? Would you send your presence? Amen. Amen. Just continue to press in for that, hey? Like, continue to pray. Don't think that your prayers aren't worth nothing. Don't think your prayers are worth less. Your prayers are important. But tonight, as we talk about thirst, you know, thirst is just, it's a function of need, right? Thirst is a reflection of what we're lacking in our body. It's a sign of dehydration. Thirst shows us that we're in need of something external to us. By the time we're thirsty, we're usually already dehydrated. Thirst, we need to pay attention to. It's like an indicator in our lives. And I think that if this season is as significant as it seems to be, and I would echo John and all of our staff and our leadership team would echo him in the same way, saying we are more sure of this move of God that is on its way right now, that is starting to stir and happen around us. We are more sure of that than we are of the concrete under your feet right now. It's happening. It's happening in our church, in our community, in our nation. It's going on. And I think if that's going to really happen, it's like God is kind of grabbing our faces. Like I do to my little six-year-old girl. I just grab her face and I try and get her attention. And I go, pay attention now. Now is the time. And I feel like God's saying, do you know that you need me? Are you thirsty for me? He's holding our faces tonight and he's saying, do you see me? Are you thirsty for me? Do you want me? Do you need me? Are you longing for me? God's getting our attention tonight. There's an invitation. When we become aware of our thirst, there's an invitation to the Lord. But it all begins with acknowledging that need, right? How many of you know that you can be thirsty and not do anything about it? Yeah. Turns out coffee doesn't actually deal with your thirst. So disappointed. Devastated. I don't even have milk in my coffee, so it looks like just dark water. No, it doesn't work. I can be dehydrated from sitting at my desk just drinking coffee all day and not realize that I have a need. I have to stop and recognize that there's actually a need in my body for water. We have to stop in this season and recognize that we have a need for God, right? Yeah. Last Sunday was really exciting if you were here. If you weren't here then tonight, we'll build on what happened and so you're invited in afresh tonight. But yeah, who was here last Sunday night? It's exciting, right? But God's not interested in just a one-off. There's an invitation to this deep longing for Him. And knowing our need for Him is so important for that. Knowing what we need is so, so essential to being ready for what He wants to give us. So the question that I have for you before we go any further is this. Are you thirsty? Ask yourself now, are you thirsty? Would I even know if I'm thirsty? What does it look like in my life to be thirsty for God? Just take a moment and think about that. See, like, thirst wasn't something which was kind of foreign to the people who came before us in our faith, right? The people who sat there and heard from God and wrote our scriptures, thirst was something that they understood. It was something they were familiar with. I mean, I've not been yet to the Middle East, but I've seen a lot of photos, I've read a lot of books, I've watched a lot of docos. It looks like a dry place, right? Like, anytime you see footage of the Middle East, it's like it's always dry and dusty and hot looking, right? Yes? Yes, some of you, if you're on your phone now and not listening, you could just Google the Middle East and see what it looks like. So the people who wrote scripture understood this, and I love that God used their surroundings as a metaphor to understand Him better, right? It's like Psalm 42, that beautiful passage, as the deer longs for flowing streams of water, so God, my soul longs for you. Like, it's beautiful poetry, right? It's a beautiful idea. But it's poetry. How does that work? What does that mean? Well, I want to unpack this psalm in a tick, but You know, as we get into this psalm, and you can start looking up Psalm 42 now, but as we get into that, you know, there's something about poetry that we can try and understand it with our heads, but it's got to get a little bit deeper than that, right? Like, poetry's supposed to evoke something in our hearts, something a little bit lower than the cognitive level, our thinking level. And so as we read something like, as the deer is just like panting, so desperately thirsty for water, God, my heart just wants you so badly. Like, they're supposed to stir something deep in us. So as we read this, what I want you to do is just start to let your heart come alive. Tonight as I'm talking, well, what I want to do is I just want to feed you salt. I just want to give you salt, lots of salt, so that you get thirsty. So that by the end of tonight, you're like, God, I just want you. I want you more. I am in desperate need of you. That's my heart for tonight. So as we read this psalm, as we keep going, get thirsty. Let the saltiness of God just start to awaken a desire in you for him. Let's go to Psalm 42. Ready? Yep, good, okay. As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you a turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Wow, whole lot going on there, right? So much happening in there. There's this acknowledgement of need right at the start. I need God. And then there's this recounting of this person's history. This psalmist is starting to tell the story of his life, how there were these moments where he was just so aware of God's presence. It was so good. It was so exciting. He was with the party people. It was all going on. But then people started to say, hey, that's not really a thing. God doesn't really love you. There's all this stuff going on. And he finds himself in this point of turmoil, this point of confusion. God, are you really there? Are you really listening? That moment where it was all just going on, it was all rah-rah, hoo-ha, this is awesome fun, the music was loud, and the lights were down, and people were praying for me, and it was just so amazing. Was that really you? Was I get caught up in the moment? I'm really confused right now. God, I feel like you've spoken to me, the deep things in me have spoken to the deep things in you, but then I feel like I've just been dumped on the seashore under this wave, like it's just all going on. But, and I believe this is part of the invitation for us as we continue to press into the Lord, but, he says, don't lose hope. Don't be downcast. Self, put hope in God again. He hasn't changed. He's still the same. He is the faithful one, and he's inviting me back into that place. You know, tonight, no matter where you're at, no matter what's happened this week, no matter what's been going on in your life, he's saying, come back to me. Find yourself in me. Get refreshed in me. Fill your tank on me. Get thirsty for me. You know, this last weekend we had our encounter retreat. Good times. Really good times. It's amazing just watching God just grab a hold of people's lives, seeing people who are just ready, who have just spent time preparing, putting aside the stuff that gets in the way so regularly, putting aside the distractions. I was having breakfast, sitting over bacon and eggs, like the best kind of food, right? Breakfast food is really the only kind of food we should ever have. But I was just sitting there and we were just sharing kind of stories of life. And this person just said, you know, I've been a Christian for, I think he said 5 or 6 years, but he said every day, every single day, he knows, he's aware of that feeling when as an adult he invited Jesus into his life. Just the feeling that came into his life, what happened in his heart, in his thinking. There's just that moment that he remembers every day. Stop right now and have a think. God, am I thirsty like I was on that first day I met you? Maybe you've come tonight and you've never met him. Or, you know, I'm going to give you an opportunity to meet him a little later on. You can feel free to do it now on the way through. We remember what he's done for us in the past. We start to become aware of what he's like. That's what the psalmist is trying to point out to us, that, you know what, no matter what the circumstances around us, we have permission to remember, to know, to stir up in us an awareness of who he is. And I love that our circumstances don't limit that, right? People just talking rubbish at you. Confusion, frustration. I feel like I'm being left alone here, God. What's going on? Yet, I'm still thirsty for you. I love that the attitude to God doesn't change in that psalm. And I think that's part of the invitation, is to hold God at the center of all that we do. The question comes then, I think, for me, as I was kind of thinking through this, as I was processing it, as I was kind of trying to find God in the midst of this topic, which is kind of a weird topic, thirst. I was excited about it, but then as I sat down to write and prepare, I thought this is kind of something that's kind of like mist and vapor. It's something hard to catch hold of. I realized that, you know, when we get thirsty, we can try and satisfy our thirst on things that don't actually deal with it, right? Like coffee. So disappointed. A serious chat with the Lord about that when we get to glory. It was so good. Is it going to be perfect on the other side? So coffee hydrate me. But we can try and meet our thirst with the wrong thing, right? We can just try and meet that need from all the wrong ways. How much do we do that in our lives? How much do we go to the wrong place to meet a real need? So just stop and ask yourself again, where do I try and meet my needs? Where do I try and satisfy my thirst? Have a think. Have a moment. Jesus makes it really clear in the Gospels how this is supposed to work, right? Like, that's the good news. The first bit makes it really confusing and hard. It seems like it's all going so terribly wrong and people just keep getting it wrong, and then you get to the little bit at the end. It's like, oh, there's lots of red here. This is good. Phew, getting some answers. The answer is Jesus. But why and how? Well, Jesus, as he starts to talk about this idea of thirst, he says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Jesus starts to lead us to an answer for how we meet this need we have to satisfy our thirst. And I think what's really significant there that we need to hold on to, and we need to start to bank on, that we need to start making our firm foundation, is that he says, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. Will be. There's no uncertainty in that word. There's not a, you might be filled, you will be filled. This is a promise of Jesus straight to you. If you want me, you can have me. There's not one of you in this room who is so special that you're not good enough. You're not able enough. That there's something so wrong with you that Jesus rejects you. No one's that special. I know you might feel like you're the exception, but he loves you too. trust me. In my lowest moments, I thought, God, I know that you like and love everyone else, but I'm a miserable sod. Why would you even pay attention to me? And then I was reminded so gently and lovingly, you're not that special. But it's true. It's so true. We are so very special to him, but we're not so unique that we can't be loved by him. You will be filled. In John chapter 6, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not be hungry again. And whoever drinks of me, whoever believes in me, shall never thirst. Never thirst. That's a promise right there. Come to him, and you'll never thirst. This is where it gets confusing, right? Who here ever went to Sunday school? Some hands. Okay, right. I love Sunday school, and kids church leaders, you're a blessing to our community. Thank you. Particularly thank you for those who have grade ones and grade fours and grade sixes, because I have kids in there and I know that's a tough gig. But I was in Sunday school, you'd hear these things and you get these kind of ideas in your head. It's like, great, if I'm thirsty, I've got to go to Jesus and drink Jesus. And I'm like, what on earth is that? My overly literal little kid brain just couldn't get the head around that. Because all I saw about this drinking Jesus was the little cup of juice we got once a month. I'm like, that's it? I drink that, I'll never be thirsty again. This doesn't make sense. It doesn't even look like water. Definitely wasn't wine, I was told. But I'm like, I couldn't compute. I couldn't connect it. It's a metaphor, that's great, but I'm actually in need. My heart is longing for God. How do I get Jesus into it? Yeah, I can invite him in, but it doesn't seem to satisfy. I'm not aware of what's going on. I'm not aware of how to do that. It doesn't seem like enough. The beauty is, again, there's red bits. The red bits have the answers. It's really good. But you know, it turns out right through Scripture, right through from the very beginning to the very end, water is there. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God was there and the Spirit was hovering on the waters. Revelation, the last two chapters, there's a river flowing through the city. There's water the whole way through the Bible. But then every now and then, there's these little glimmers, these little invitations, these little kind of peeking behind the scenes. Like Isaiah 44, there's this beautiful moment where things have been going bad for Israel, as it tended to happen as you read the Old Testament, and you should. You know, things are not going well. Things are going terribly wrong. They're making terrible decisions. And yet God sneaks these promises in under the radar to remind them what he's really like. And I believe he's doing that with our lives. But Isaiah 44, there's this beautiful little promise that's spoken out to Israel, but it starts to draw us into an answer that how do we get Jesus into our lives to deal with our thirst? And it says this, hear me, says the Lord. Hear me, Israel. I made you. I formed you from the womb, and I will help you. Wow, the faithfulness of God, right? Fear not. Fear not. For I will pour water on a thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up like the grass, like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call him the name of Jacob. Another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. God draws us to an awareness of how he wants to meet our thirst. Like our land is dry and it needs water as the Lord pours it out, so our lives are dry and he says, I'll pour my spirit onto you. You are my descendants, my children, my beloved ones. The blessing, I will pour my spirit out afresh onto you. Water and spirit in the Bible. Start to see the connection. Every time you see water, start to think spirit. What's the spirit doing in this moment? What's happening here? Because it's this parallelism in the poetry. It's starting to invite us. We start to see these metaphors, these connections. But God doesn't leave it there in case that's too long a bow for you to draw. Let's go to John chapter 7. Open up your Bible there. Nothing else, hopefully just learn your way around your Bible a little bit tonight, right? John chapter 7, and this is a really important moment in the ministry of Jesus. John 7, 37. Jesus is he's been doing his ministry. He's come to Jerusalem. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. People are unimpressed with him. But there's this moment in verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Okay, I'm thirsty, but what do I drink, Jesus? "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water." Great. Then, thankfully, John took a moment to explain what he's talking about. And this is our invitation right here. "Now this," verse 39, "this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But when you come to him and we're thirsty, he gives us his Spirit to drink of." We're one step closer to the solution, right? How do I drink the Holy Spirit? Doesn't get much easier, right? Now I can't even see it. It was a cup before. What do we do? Well, this comes back to what Pastor John was talking about last week. Now we start to make decisions. Now we start to prepare our lives. Now we start to prepare a place, a space, an inviting environment for God to come into. Like the picture of water, an illustration of water pouring in to a vessel that is longing for it. So God says, "I want to pour my Spirit into your dry life, into the needy places of your life." So now what I realize is, what God wants to do in my heart when I feel the need, when I feel the disconnect, when I feel the dryness, what he wants to do is he wants to come and be with me. It's not some weird abstract metaphor. It's actually relationship. It's actually intimacy. What he's saying is, when you come to me, I will be with you and you'll never need anything again. Not that there won't be stuff in your life, but when you've got me, I will satisfy the deep longing of your heart. If you were here last week, which a lot of you put your hands up, you know, John gave us a whole list of things that we can do to start to get that ready. We can be humble, we can read scripture, we can pray, we can put off things, we can get space in our lives through disciplines, we can do all sorts of things. We can get ourselves around people who God is doing something through and in that start to inspire us and challenge us and confuse us but invite us into knowing him more. That's why we've been banging on about next weekend so much, about this conference, because you know what? When you get around people like our guests who are coming, they start to stir something up in us. They start to create a thirst for something more of God. We start to see wider than our limited horizons that we get stuck in our little western suburbs of Brisbane lives. We start to hear what God's doing around the world. When you hear the Hope Collective share, what I want you to do is get excited, get thirsty. Go, "God, you're doing something around our world. Would you show me more?" Something about just stopping, about breathing, about being aware of God in a moment. We start to create that space for him. He promised that he would be with us. He promised that he would fill us. He promised that we wouldn't be lost without him. He wouldn't leave us or forsake us or reject us. But if we stop long enough to let the noise die down, to become aware of our need, then he said, "I will fill you. I will be with you." He's inviting us to take a big taste of him, to let him start to stir something in us. You know, last weekend at the Encounter Retreat, it just amazes me what God does. I just love how he just does these things, like he sneaks up on you in the best possible way. Anyone ever had that? Jehovah Sneaky? Like, I just wasn't prepared and all of a sudden he's there and he's doing something in my life and I'm like, what's going on? I didn't know I needed it, but man, when I experienced it, I knew that's exactly the need I had in my life. Have you ever had that? I had this beautiful moment when we were with our engaging participants and we were talking about something not that dissimilar to this, about God's presence in our lives and how that empowers us to be His person everywhere we go. We just started to share stories about what God's done in our lives. And there's just this moment where I was just suddenly aware of just the presence of God in the room. It wasn't a mystical time. It was about 1:45 in the afternoon. There was no music on. We're just sitting in a circle, just telling God's stories, just talking about what He'd done in our lives. And I just became aware of His presence. And I said, let's just stop. Let's just take a moment and breathe. And like we breathe in a big lung full of air, it's like just His presence coming into us, like a big drink of water just satisfying my deep thirst. And I said, let's just sit here for a moment. Let's just take a moment. And say, God, I just want to invite You into my space right now. And in that moment, I was just so aware of God and I sneakily looked around a little bit. Everyone else had their eyes closed and one of the participants just had a tear just start to run down their face. I'm like, God, You're doing something right now. God, they're becoming aware of Your presence right now. You're making them thirsty for You. You're meeting their deep longing in You. And before we knew it, God just started to pour His love out on those people in that room, participants and team alike. God just started to pour His love onto their lives, and then there was tears and there was laughter and there was joy. There was just this pouring out of God's love. And I realized in that moment, it's not anything magical. It's not something we need to conjure up. It's not the hype of a moment. It's just what it looks like when someone just creates a space in their life to say, God, I just want You so much. God, I'm just aware of what You did for me. I'm aware that I don't want to see that cross and think, wow, I just showed up for boring church. I'm satisfied with that. But when the presence of the living God just starts to come and take up space in our hearts, all of a sudden we start to become fully alive. Right now, right this moment, right this very second, you have an invitation and a choice. You can switch off. I've been going a little bit long. You can engage right now. God's starting to stir something in this space. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. If you're starting to feel a bit sleepy, a bit distracted, sit up straight. Start to just prepare yourself because I believe God's stirring something in this very moment. Don't miss the invitation right now. Right now. Just start to say, God, if this is You, if this is true, if what You did last Sunday night is real, if You're doing something in our community, if You're doing something in this place, then I don't want to miss it. I want to be thirsty for You. I want to have my needs met by You. I want to long for You. Jesus said, I will give You My Spirit. Come and ask Me and I will give it to you. He said, drink of Me. And by this He meant the Spirit. Holy Spirit is here right now doing stuff in you. I'm so aware of it right now. Something about just cultivating that deep need for Him, about letting it stir up in you. I remember a time when I was in a room with about 800 people in Sydney, and Leif Hetland, who will be here next weekend, he's speaking. And he's a Norwegian man, he's probably about this tall. And he said, would you all stand up and would you all just line the room? And we just lined a room somewhat similar to this, and we're all just against the wall, all spread out. And he just walked around the room, and person after person, every single one in the room, he just stopped in front of each one and looked them directly in the eye and said, your papa loves you. And they're like, yeah, of course God loves us. He's contractually obliged. But when there's someone, when there's someone who has dug a deep well of intimacy with God, who has spent time cultivating an awareness of God's presence, of being thirsty for the Lord and letting the Lord just fill him afresh and fill him afresh and fill him afresh, when he knows the promise of the Lord, when someone with that kind of history with God stands in front of you and declares over you the truth that your papa loves you, man, it rocked my world. I didn't know what to do. I started to cry, like the ugly cry. The bad kind, that's the best kind. I just fell to my knees and I was just overwhelmed by the fact that even when I didn't deserve it, even when I didn't really even understand it, He loves me. And He loves me so much He wants to be with me. And He doesn't want to leave me or reject me. He just wants to live and do this life with me. He's inviting us each deep into this place of intimacy with Him. Would you stand up to your feet? Would you just take a breath? Because there's a moment, there's an invitation tonight. Again, not that it's a special night, but He's a special God. And this is every day that He's calling us to know Him. Would you maybe just close your eyes for a moment just to close out the distractions? Just start to just become aware of God. What I mean by that is just start to say, God, You're good. You're faithful. You're loving. Start to just tell Him the truth of who He is. Start to be thankful for what He's done. God, You're so good. You love me. You saved me. You love our world. You love our nation. God, You are so good. Just start to let that awareness of Him just start to build in you. I don't want you to conjure up anything. I don't want you to fake anything. We're not looking for that because it can be intense tears or it can just be this deep and abiding peace. But what I want you to do tonight is ask the Lord, what is my need? Am I really thirsty for You? And God, if I am thirsty for You, will You come and meet my need? Holy Spirit, would You come tonight? And like a tall glass of fresh water, would You just come and just fill me up from the inside out? Would You start to just be aware of what He's doing? Would You start to just pray, come, Holy Spirit, would You come in this place? Would You come full fresh in my life? Come, Holy Spirit, would You come and just make me aware of my need for You? Would You come and meet that need tonight? Would You come, Holy Spirit, in this place? We welcome You in tonight. I just want to give you permission as you just have this time of responding to Him, that this is time for you to be with Him. This is time for you to respond to Him, to let Him do what He wants to do in your life. Like John said last week, there's an invitation to you right now to move out of your comfortable place. For some of you, that might actually mean getting out of your seat. I'm finding a spot in this room. There's plenty of space in this room, but I encourage you to maybe step out of your seat. Maybe get out of your place. And ask Him to come and fill you. You know, probably the most significant touch of God I ever had, I was at a meeting in Melbourne, and we were sitting near the front and God was just doing this thing in me, and I was crying and I was so aware of His presence and I was just being so rocked by Him in myself that I didn't know what to do with it. I was crying and I was confused and I was lost, and I just knew God was doing something in my life, and I was just weeping. I've been weeping for about 30 minutes at this point, and I didn't know what to do with myself. And this little old lady who was sitting behind me, she just slapped me on the back and said, just go forward, you beautiful man. But tonight, I think there's a prompting. It's like for some of you, God is just putting His hand on you, going, you're beautiful. Would you just move? Would you just step out of that comfortable space? Would you find a place where you actually long for me? Will you recognize your need, and would you invite me to meet it?
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.